I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. My heart fully echoes along with the psalmist in these words found in Psalm 34. This is the work that the living God has done in my life and in my soul. My life before Christ. I was born and raised in Elgin, Illinois, to a single-parent home of a very young mother. I was brought up in an environment that did not serve nor love God. As a child, I was moved around a lot and have had all kinds of influences upon me, some good and some bad. Because of the good influences, I knew there was a God, but he always seemed so distant, and somehow I knew he was unhappy with me and my ways. I had heard of hell and was deathly afraid of going there. However, my moral standard growing up was me. I was my own God. I was led by my lust and great desire to please others and to be thought of as a good person. As long as I can remember, I always wanted to be loved and accepted. I would do whatever I had to do to find that. I searched in all sorts of places, through relationships, fun, partying, my image, and even church. Around 12 or 13 years old, I made a profession of faith and was baptized. This added to my list of sins because I only did it out of fear of man. It was a complete mockery. Nothing in my life changed except for the fact that I increased in my rebellion and open sin. My personal sins are so clearly listed in Romans chapter 1. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do these things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. The next chapter goes on to say that those who judge others are also condemning themselves, because the very sins you judge others for, you are guilty of too. And do you think that you will be able to escape God's judgment? All of his kindness and patience towards me was meant to lead me to repentance. Hypocrisy is probably one of my greatest sins. I was righteous in my own eyes and measured myself against others' failures and brushing my own failures under the rug. All the while, I could see what was really going on in my life and in my heart. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. All the while, God could see what was really going on in my life and my heart, even if I hid it from others. I couldn't say all this this way at that time. I just knew I was miserable inside and very unhappy with my life. I enlisted into the military when I was 18 to escape and start out a new life. Although most of us here knows what I took with me, the same Kara and the same sinful lifestyle. While in the Army, my life came to a drastic slowdown because some of my sins caught up with me. I became pregnant out of wedlock. I believe God used my daughter to make me have to think of someone other than myself. Shortly after having my daughter, Brock and I decided to get married on a sort of whim because we were about to go our separate ways, him to Germany and I to Illinois. Family life and marriage did not bring the hope for stability and peace I was looking for. I was still so selfish and just living to please myself. I knew my life was not right, but I didn't know how to fix it. This is the point that God started working on me. After Brock and I got married, his mother had showed us a few Christian movies that showed what life could potentially be like for the Christian when the end of the world came. These movies really scared me and shook me up in my soul. They showed that you would have to make a choice to follow Jesus if you wanted to go to heaven or die in your sins and go to hell. I do remember thinking that I was a pretty good person and that I would just confess Jesus right before I was killed so that I would be okay if anything like that was ever to happen to me. Even still, I always had a guilty conscience and I feared dying and having to face God. I started to want to go to church and to pray to God, although I did not know how, and I was ashamed of this desire. I was afraid to do anything about it because I thought my husband would leave me if I went all churchy on him. In spite of all this, I decided that I had had enough of married life, so I left Germany and my husband and came back to the United States. I'm glad to know today that God has a plan for us, even when we make wrong choices and our lives do seem so out of control. How I came to know Christ. When I arrived back in the States, I began seeking the Lord in prayer. Although, as I mentioned, I didn't really know how to do this. I grew up in a home at one point where I had learned the Lord's Prayer, and my mother-in-law had given me a book to pray for my husband when we got married. So I began using these forms. Brock and I decided to try and make our marriage work out, and he received orders to come back to the States earlier than he was supposed to, and we were stationed together in Kansas. My mother-in-law, who also lives in Kansas, invited us to go to church with her while we were visiting her down in Wichita. So we went. On one of our visits, the preacher asked, if Jesus were to come back today, would he take you to heaven with him? Everything in my soul knew he would definitely not do that, but I yearned for it. I wanted peace with God. They gave an altar call, and I went forward, and to my amazement, as you already heard, so did my husband. I already knew that Christ died for me, but on this day, it all became very personal. God changed me on that day. Some people from the church took us aside and prayed with us. I was so full of joy that Jesus had saved me. My heart, my desires, and my longings were all brought under his control, and my life has never been the same since that day. This was in the winter of 1999. The scriptures say, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And one more place that is precious to me. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. My life since I came to know Christ. Immediately, God put a great love in my heart for his word. I devoured the Bible. Brock and I spent a lot of time reading the word together and talking about it. We were constantly at church and tried to attend as many Bible studies that we could. I threw off my old lifestyle. I no longer desired to seek my happiness from the world and all of its promises of pleasure through things that were only destroying me and my family. I now loved to be with the people of God. I've always been amazed at how people that are so different in life and in likes and dislikes are all brought together in love and peace because of Jesus Christ. He really is the only thing most of us have in common. I also wanted to tell everyone I came into contact with about Jesus and how he had saved me.
This caused me to lose some friendships and strain some family relationships. I publicly confessed Christ and was baptized in the summer of 2000, along with my husband, by a pastor of the church we were attending. When getting baptized, we had to choose a sort of life verse, and I chose Romans 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I can't say everything was perfect after that. Ironically, faith is something I've struggled with throughout my Christian walk. Through a mixture of reading the Bible, listening to preaching, and a few books I have been reading, I've only come recently to learn that it wasn't faith at all that I was struggling with. It was the assurance of my salvation. This is a spiritual fruit that can grow strong or become weak depending on what my soul is feeding on. For too many years, I wasted a lot of tears, fear, and agony over the spiritual work only God can and does in a person. I was sorely tried in many ways, but I praise God he has upheld me. I've never wanted to go back to my old ways. I just didn't always know how to move forward. All along, I've been learning how to rejoice and trust God, even through trials and suffering, as stated in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Here are just a few of my most major pitfalls that caused a lot of stumbling and trouble to my soul. I started doubting if I was really saved because people at the church we were saved in started telling me that if I was really saved, I would be speaking in tongues, which I wasn't, and I did try. But by reading the Bible, I realized that this was not the truth. I found out it was a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to some believers to serve him in the church. It was not a condition to my salvation. Brock and I decided to stop attending this church. And in spite of my faint-heartedness, I do believe that day I met God in that church and he saved me. He gave me repentance and faith. I was then shook up because while I was reading my Bible, I read in Ephesians how we were predestinated to be saved. I was really confused and did not like hearing that. I thought that I had chosen God and had given my life to Christ, which I did. Now the Bible was telling me that God chose me first and saved me because he wanted to, without my permission. It took me a while, but I came to terms with this after listening to some lectures on the topic. I was helped to see how wonderful this actually is. God loves me. God was chipping away at my pride, as you hear. Another huge stumbling block for me was my own personal sin. Initially, when I first came to Christ, I misunderstood the whole orb of the gospel. I thought that I was going to be perfect right away, never to sin again. I was shocked that even as a Christian, I would still sin. And even worse, I noticed sinful things about me that I had never known before. At first, it was easy. I didn't want to curse or party or be unkind to people anymore. But God started showing me that I had a lot of pride deep down inside. I lacked the humility the Bible talked about. I was full of self-centered motives, hateful and lustful thoughts, blame-shifting, and ungodly anger. These things all made me to feel that I was not saved and that the power of sin was not broken in me. I unfortunately fell into a trap of doubting and despair. My main issue, though, was that I was constantly looking at my sin rather than my Savior, who had fully paid for my sin and was really changing me daily. I was so wrong because I would often overlook the work God was doing in my life because of the bad that he was still working on. I was often fooled to believe that I could see with my own eyes, believe what I could see with my own eyes and my feelings rather than trusting what God said, who does not lie, standing continually on his promises and being more patient. The word of God was my closest companion through these times. My soul was often comforted with verses from 1 John. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. And if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Also from Psalm 32, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. as well as Romans, speaking of Abraham, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And the scripture says that a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And lastly, Romans 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We moved again and started to attend another church. This is where I grew the most in my knowledge of the Word of God, although my walk was very hindered because knowledge tends to puff up, which you've already heard. I had a huge pride problem and still do, working on it, while love builds up. My Christian love did not always match the amount of biblical knowledge I had. We were in a church that started to slowly lean towards a lording over people's faith with a spirit of control and legalism. Some of my struggles with assurance came during our 10 years at this particular church. I knew that Jesus had died for my sins and that I was justified before God because of him by faith, but I continually struggled with feeling like the Father was angry with me. I didn't realize that in a roundabout way, I was being pointed to the law for sanctification and gain assurance by looking to the law, which led me to always feel miserable inside and lacking the confidence that salvation brings. I believe now that the Spirit was being quenched in that place and in my life, but I also praise God, who did not leave me to myself through all this. God used Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians. The following scripture passages helped me out of this pit and put my eyes back on Jesus, the proper object of my faith. Galatians 3 says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole.' He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Through all of these experiences and trials, God was actually doing the very thing I wanted. He was growing and strengthening my faith, building my character, teaching me to deal with sin in the appropriate way, filling me with hope, and teaching me about the unconditional love he has for me in Jesus. He has taught me over the years to not depend on anything but Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for my sin. Not to trust in my knowledge and understanding, whether it be worldly or biblical. Not my performances, whether they are good or bad. Not the arm of flesh, people, relationships, safety, and not even in the right church. I've learned that God and God alone is my portion. He has always been faithful and full of mercy and love, gently guiding me along like a little lamb, conforming me more and more into the image of his Son. Glory to God. Salvation is a free gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. all the way through regeneration, justification, the whole sanctification process, and that day where just men are made perfect, our glorification. That is something to boast about. This is what God can do for an unworthy sinner. He has adopted me into his family and made me an heir of heaven with his son. When I think of the wasted time of doubting my salvation, I always go to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. I now know our trials and pains are never in vain. They're always meant to grow us and to comfort and help others. My confession of Christ. As I come for membership at Living Hope, I want to confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. He is my redemption, my surety, and the rock of my salvation that my feet have been firmly planted on. Jesus Christ is my anchor of hope and my advocate with the Father. He is my good shepherd, my brother, and my life. I want to praise God today for saving me. Glory to his name. Thank you.